Jesus said that the greatest commands of all are to love God with all that we have, our entire being, our mind, strength, soul, heart, and to love our neighbor, love other people as ourselves. And so hopefully as we grow, as we mature, we become people who love well, who truly love and grow in loving. And sometimes that's challenging. And when I'm an old man, I don't want to be an old, bitter, grumpy man. I want to be someone who loves people more than I do now. And that's my hope for us. Today I want to talk about forgiveness. I just want to share a story about my life. My parents got divorced when I was in third grade. And my dad moved out. And that was pretty hard for me. And then pretty soon, less than a year, my dad met another woman. And they got married in a short time. And they moved away to a town about 5 hours away from my hometown. And so as a young kid, what it felt like to me, which isn't the truth, I realize, what it felt like to me is that my stepmom stole my dad. Because she came into the picture, and my dad left. And then we would go and visit, we would see my dad a couple times a year, once or twice. And during that time, she seemed kind of jealous, and part of it, I didn't really care to see her. I wasn't there to see her, I'm just being honest. I was there to see my dad. And so I just wanted to hang out with my dad, and then she would be like, come on, Garth, you should hang out with me and talk to me. I was like, no, you have him all year long. This is my time. You can do whatever you want to do. I don't know. And so that was challenging. And then about 9 years ago, my dad got cancer. And so he started, you know, this process of his body declining and dying. And towards the end, he was living at a farm up in Colorado. And he's there, and he's from a big family, a big, like, crazy, loving family. And everybody wanted to come to this little farmhouse and be there and see him and touch him and sit with him and love him and sing songs with him and pray with him. And the people who had the farm, they were pretty quiet. They didn't have any kids. They were used to just a really quiet home. And so it was a great place for my stepmom, but it was really challenging for us. And so we had all these meetings, and my uncle was even like, I'll bring an RV and bring it to the farm, and we can just stay here, and we can just come and see him all the time. And my stepmom and those other folks were like, no, this is crazy. We don't want you guys around. Like, this is too much. And so my dad's mom, my grandma's still alive, and she said, well, why don't I move him to my house? And it'll just be an open door. Anyone can come and see him. Anyone can be there. And they're like, nah, this is his place. This is where he's going to be. So hopefully you guys are following this story. Sorry, it's kind of whatever involved. And so I was here, and we had a baby, and the baby was 4 days old, and as a good, loving father and husband, I said, we should go see my dad before he dies. So, 4-day-old baby, we hit the road, we drive in the freezing cold up to Colorado, we're staying at Holly's dad's house and going and visiting my dad almost every day. And after a while, it was like, we just can't do this. This is crazy. They don't really want us here. It's just taking a toll on my family. I used up all my leave. I'm just going to go back. But the thing was that when my grandpa died, my dad and all of his siblings were there. At the moment he died, they were in the room with him. And all of them, when saying, especially my dad, said, that was such an amazing time. It was so cool. And my dad had said to me, when I die, I would love to have all of my sons there with me. And I thought that would be such a cool thing. First of all, just to be there. I would love to be there and experience that. And second, because that was his wish. That's what he wanted. And so it was really hard for me, but I finally just said, I can't do this to my family. I can't do this. I'm going to leave and go back to El Paso. But I'm hoping my brothers will all be there. And somehow, vicariously, I'll be there with them, you know, for that time. It's really hard to know how long someone's going to, how many days they have left. And so I got the call at school one day that my dad had passed away 2 weeks after we had come back. And so I wanted to hear the story, and I was hoping my brothers were there, and I've come to hear nobody was there except my stepmom. She was the only one. And that my brother was frustrated because she didn't even call and say, hey, why don't you come up? This is the time. And I was frustrated. And then we had the funeral for my dad, and a couple of us had an opportunity to speak. And my stepmom gets up and gives a speech, and the entire thing is what it was like the day my dad passed away, what those moments were like, and how he died. It's like, okay. And then she sends a letter to all of us later, and in it she was frustrated with a little bit of how the obituary was written, which I get. And then she included her speech in there. She included a copy of that. And to me it was like, someone who had always wanted to go to Disneyland, and then somebody else goes and says, hey, here's what Disneyland's like. It's like, I don't want to hear this. I wanted to be there. And I took this letter. I didn't know what to do with it. I'm like, oh, frustrated. And I folded it up, and I took it outside, and in our metal shed, I tucked it in the wall there. Like, I don't know, maybe someday I'll read this again. But right now, I don't even want it in my house. And I had to learn how to forgive my stepmom. And I'm sure in your life, you have had people you have had to forgive. People that took something that you wanted. People that treated you in a way that wasn't right. People who, in one sense, owe you something. People who robbed you or wronged you. And all of us have that. And all of us have opportunities to forgive and the challenge to forgive. And I wish I could say it's super easy. Here's the magic formula. Just do this and you forgive. But it's kind of a journey. And so today we're going to look at what Jesus says about it, and we are going to talk about forgiveness. So why don't we pray and dig into this. So, God, thank you. I thank you that you've forgiven us. What an amazing gift that I don't deserve. You could hold it over my head forever, but you've forgiven me so much. God, I ask that you would help us to forgive others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before we jump into this passage, I just want to say a tiny bit about what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not saying, oh, it wasn't a big deal. Oh, that didn't really hurt. It didn't matter. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness can say the truth. This hurt like crazy. This was jacked up. This should have never happened. It can acknowledge that. It doesn't minimize the hurt. It acknowledges that it's real. Forgiveness is not a one-time thing. Oh, you just do this and it's over. Sometimes forgiveness takes a long time. It is an intentional choice, and it's also a process. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we have to jump back into a really close, abusive relationship. We can still have boundaries. We can forgive someone but say, I completely forgive you, but I need this space. I just can't have you close to me again at this level. Forgiveness means that we release someone. The debt they owe us, we say, you no longer owe us. I've let go of it. I will deal with it. I won't hold it over your head, even though I could. Forgiveness does not mean that we forget it. That would be nice. But it doesn't. the pain can still be really real. We can still remember the pain, but we release the debt. We release that person. So Jesus shares lots of things about forgiveness. Matthew 18, starting in 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? And that's pretty generous. Because at the time it was kind of thought, around 3 is pretty good. So Peter's like, "Jesus, I got this. How about 7? What if I forgive 7? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And I guess that's kind of hard to translate. Some say 70 times 7, which is even more than 77. Either way, the point is a lot. Way more than we probably want to. And then he tells them a story. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him." I don't know if any of you guys invest in gold, but 10,000 bags of gold is some serious cash. That's a lot of money. Actually, 1 piece of gold's pretty decent. 1 ounce of gold's over 1,000. Anyways, I don't know. "Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." He didn't just say, "Okay, I'll give you more time." He said, "Forget it. You don't owe me anything, not a single piece of gold." "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. That's still some decent money. Nothing compared to 100 bags of gold. It's pretty small in comparison. "He grabbed him and began to choke him." All of us probably can understand that feeling at times. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." What a powerful story. In this is an amazing picture of God's forgiveness. And the core of what I believe and what the Christian faith is about. That Jesus came into this world to take our debt. To pay for us. To buy us. To pay with his own blood the debt that we owed. That we could be completely forgiven. Not that we still owe a little bit. Or not that half of our sins were taken care of and we could deal with the rest, but everything, that we would have nothing left, that before God, we would stand before God completely righteous, just by faith, just by saying, "I believe in what he did for me. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. Have mercy on me. I believe in what Jesus did." That we would be 100% completely clean, completely forgiven. What an amazing gift. And then he says, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants? Shouldn't we forgive others? Because we've been forgiven this amazing thing. And it costs a lot. It wasn't a free thing. It cost the Father the life of His Son. And it's going to cost us too. Okay, so forgiveness. I want to chew on this a little bit. I want to throw it out to you guys. This is your chance to participate. What do you think? Why should we forgive others? Because Jesus forgives us. Awesome. That's a great reason. Because Jesus forgives us, we should pass it on. And in a sense, how messed up if we wouldn't pass it on? What else? What do you guys think? I mean, that probably says about everything, right? That's sums it up pretty good. It makes you feel better about yourself. Cool. And I think in a few levels, one of like, and I don't know which angle you were taking, but you feel good, like, I did the right thing. That feels good. And another thing is, carrying unforgiveness is heavy. It gets really old. It's been described as the poison we drink trying to hurt somebody else. And I drink this poison, and I hope they really feel it. But it feels good to let go of that. Ah, oh, just, who wants to carry that? Unfortunately, sometimes I do. I want to just hang on to that. Even if it kills me. Hang on that I was wronged and I'm going to hang on to being right. But it feels good. It really does. Any other thoughts? Why should we forgive people? Awesome. Yeah, totally. It's a tremendous demonstration to the world of like, this is how the world operates. You get what your rights and you hang on to them. But in God's kingdom, we operate under a different measure, a different way of being. What an amazing demonstration. People see that. Whoa. Forgiveness. That's, I mean, we could say all we want, but though that shows something. I agree with that very much. Totally. So walking in God's plan, and God has this fullness of us to run on this and really just live an abundant life and be blessed, and instead we're just held in chains by this unforgiveness that we won't let go of. We only make it halfway or who knows how far, not as far. I can really connect with that. Yeah. It does. It holds us back. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I definitely agree with that. It's an ongoing process and lifestyle. And I appreciate what you added of that. I constantly need forgiveness from people around me. So just as that's not like, oh yeah, you know, once a year I might need forgiveness. It's like I consistently need forgiveness. In the same way, can I consistently show forgiveness? Can I consistently grant that? And so, yeah, I think that's really good. All right, we're going to move on to how, in your learning of forgiving others, what has helped you? Yeah. Yeah, no, that's, yeah. So every time you think of it, of that hurt, or to say, I forgive you, I have forgiven you. And it's a reminder to ourselves as well, as it just speaks into that every time. And I can appreciate that. And sometimes I embarrass myself because I might need to do that every 5 minutes for a day. And then maybe it'll be 2 weeks and it's like, I thought I already forgave. And I did. That was real. I really did. But to remind ourselves. And so that I like that. Every time you think of it, just, I forgive it. I forgive you. I forgive you. And if we have to do that 100 times one day and once another day, so be it. But that's great. Sure. So realizing that it's, at the end of the day, it's hurting you, not them. Totally. This is for my own benefit too, not just for them. Absolutely. That's a good reminder. Sure. That's good. Yeah, that was slightly over my head, and I appreciated that. but I do think it is interesting how we do that. So he's saying that if, you know, if I make a mistake, it's like, well, I had a hard day, these external things. I was stressed out, you know, this. But if somebody else did something, it's like, it's because they don't care about me. They're mean. Something inside of them is broken. They're a jerk. They'll do it again. We don't grant them that same sense of understanding. And so maybe it was just out of ignorance, not out of malice. But it's pretty easy to be like, I know exactly why you did it. And it's the same reason you did that other thing too, and whatever. I know exactly why my stepmom didn't want me there. I know exactly. Absolutely. And I'm joking. I have no idea why people do what they do. As even though I would like to be able to tell you that I know even my wife's motives, I don't. But so it is, if you have the courage to ask. But why ask if you already know, right? It's like, I already know why you did that. Why would I ask? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Having that right view of yourself. That's hard. And yeah, I appreciate that. I do think a lot of our wrongs are because of expectations. It's like, I deserve this and that wasn't right. And to realize who we really are, everything we have is a gift. We're not entitled inherently to anything. And to even grant someone else that same space as we would grant ourselves. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to cruise through a couple of these that I wrote down. I think collectively you guys have way more to add than I would come up with. Just like you guys were saying, remember how much we've been forgiven. That's huge. If I'm perfect, then I can hold other people to standards. But when I realize how much I have wronged God, not even to mention other people, and I've been completely forgiven, it makes it easier. I'm not trying to downplay the hurt that some people, I mean, some people have walked through tremendous hurt. I'm not trying to downplay that and say it didn't hurt. I'm just saying when I realize, wow, I've been completely released, it just allows that possibility. Another thing that's helpful to me is to remember what Jesus went through. It's amazing. What would happen if a perfect person was here on earth? We'd kill him. We'd crucify him. That's what we would do. And what do you think would happen if somebody less perfect, like me? Okay, pathetic. Well, should I expect any better? But it's cool. First Peter really captures this of connecting with Jesus. He was insulted. He didn't deserve it. Certainly I can share in that and realize that I get to share in what he experienced. And also he shares in what I experience. He's aware of what we go through. He's with us in it. It means a lot to me. Acknowledging it to God and trust God to make it right. It's like, God, this hurt. Romans 12 talks about, I'm not going to take vengeance. God, you have the freedom to do that. And please do. Please, no. Sometimes that's our heart, right? Give it to him. But I'm not going to. And then hopefully it's like, and forgive him. Just like I needed it. But if you give it to him, that's fine too. Who knows? I don't know if you've been there. I think the other thing to acknowledge it to God of, God, this is what I wanted. This is what I thought I deserved, to give that to God. And to let God say, those things that you wanted from this person, I'll give you. It's not an expectation on them, but I'll give you love. I'll give you the good things in your life and beyond this life. If you can share it with the person, that's hard. I had a really cool opportunity with my stepmom. She came and stayed with us a year after my dad passed away. And in that time, I'm such a chicken sometimes. It was the last day before she's about to leave. And I'm like, I wanted to talk through what happened. It's been bothering me. Why was it like this? And why did you not let my brothers be there? And I got to hear her side of the story. And like someone was saying, when we try to understand where someone else is at, where they're coming from, sometimes that helps a lot. And part of what, for me, is like understanding my stepmom, she was from Germany. Her dad was an American soldier who left. And she thought her stepdad was her dad. She found out in a letter when she was 13 that who she thought was her dad was not her dad. And that her dad was an American. When she was 18, she met an American soldier, got pregnant, and then he left and came back to the States. She's like, I am not going to do the same thing again. So she followed him back here. They were together for a few years. They had 3 kids, and then he left her. And so she has all these like interesting challenges in her life. I was there, they were living in Vermont. I was there when she got the papers that had the death certificate of her dad. She'd been searching for her dad, and she finally found her dad and found that he was living in Pennsylvania, like an hour from where she was living in Pennsylvania with her husband. And she never met her dad, never encountered him. But I always thought it was weird. My dad and stepmom, they moved so much. I remember them moving 3 times in 1 year. We're packing up all their stuff and helping them move to a new place. I'm like, what are you doing? And my dad could live in a cracker box his whole life and not even, you know, just be content. He wasn't trying to move. But to understand where she was coming from, of course, when I would come visit, she would have a sense of like, I need this guy. I want to be a part. She wanted to belong to our family. This is my thinking. And to really understand where she was coming from. And then she shares with me, you know, I didn't know when he was going to die. And I did call your brother that day. And so I called my other brother, not the one who told me that she didn't call. He's like, yeah, she did call. And I came up there as fast as I could. And he passed away when I was right outside the door. And I was the second one in the door. I was like, okay, this is different than what I thought. And to understand the pain that she went through and the challenges in her life, to me, is helpful. And I feel like I've completely forgiven my stepmom. I don't call her very often. I sadly don't call my mom that often. But when I do call her, we have a great conversation. And I care about her input. My kids send her pictures and letters. And I don't have any like hard feelings towards her. But it is a process. And to even tell ourselves, I don't have a right to hate this person. God hasn't given me that right, has been helpful. Another challenging one in Romans, it says, overcome evil with good. And this is similar to what Pat's saying, but even further of like, pray a blessing for that other person. I appreciated a brother was saying, anytime he did communion, there was somebody that he just hated. They had wronged him. And so anytime he would do communion, he would pray for that person. God, will you bless this person? Bring good to their life. Bring happiness and success. And he finally reached a point where he actually meant it. Where he actually, before that, it was like, yeah, I want it, but I still, when I think of that person, I still have this negative feeling. And he got to a point where he truly desired good for them. And then lastly, ask Jesus for the strength to do the impossible. I think it's really wild. In Luke, when Jesus says, you should forgive not just 7, but 77 times, the disciples, they say, increase our faith. That's what they say. Lord, please increase our faith. And Jesus, after that, that's when he says, you only need faith the size of a mustard seed. Why? So that you can forgive. That was the context. It is not always an easy thing. God does give us the strength, though. And what a great thing to be free of. I wish I could say, yeah, 8 years ago I forgave my stepmom and I've never had to forgive anybody again. But it is a process, so. Why don't we pray? We're going to sing a couple more songs. And during that, I just want to invite you to really appreciate that gift of forgiveness that God gives us in his son Jesus. And also, if God has someone on your heart, respond to that. Bring that to God. Is there a place that God's tugging on your heart that you need to forgive? Is there someone you need to talk to? If you would like prayer, Sometimes it's nice just to have somebody else pray for you. Have them bring that to God and ask for the strength for you to forgive. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you that we get to walk a similar path that you did, Jesus. Even though it's challenging and lonely and dark sometimes and painful, thank you that you went before us, that you lived the perfect life. Thank you that you forgave. Even when you were dying, you said, Lord, forgive them. Father, forgive them. May that be our heart. Father, forgive them, even as we forgive. Give us the courage to forgive, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.